Open your Bibles to the book of Numbers, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. You'll find the book of Numbers. So it's right in the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and then the book of Numbers. And then if you will, find chapter number 7. How many of you this week have written down some blessings that God gave you? I preached to you last week on count your blessings. Maybe you didn't make physical notes, but you made mental notes all week long of your blessings. God bless you for doing that. God's been so good to us, hasn't he? He's blessed us in so many ways. I want to preach to you this morning. I know it's going to seem a little bit unusual, which is nothing unusual around here. But I hope you'll be blessed as I was, as God spoke to my heart. And I hope it'll come out to where you'll get blessed as well. The book of Numbers, chapter number 7. Number 7. And it came to pass on the day that Moses had fully set up the tabernacle, had anointed it and sanctified it and all the instruments thereof, both the altar and all the vessels thereof, and had anointed them and sanctified them, that the princes of Israel, heads of the house of their fathers, who were the princes of the tribe, and were over them that were numbered, offered, and they brought their offering before the Lord. 6 covered wagons and 12 oxen, a wagon for 2 of the princes, and for each one an ox, and they brought them before the tabernacle. And the Lord said unto Moses, take it of them, that they may do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. And thou shalt give them unto the Levites, to every man according to his service. And Moses took the wagons and the oxen and gave them to the Levites. 2 wagons and 4 oxen he gave to the tribe of Gershon according to his service. 4 wagons and 8 oxen he gave to the sons of Merari, according to his service, under the hands of Itamar, the son of Aaron the priest. I leave off the reading right there, and I want to call your attention back to verse number 3. And they brought their offering before the Lord, 6 covered wagons and 12 oxen. I want to preach to you this morning on 6 covered wagons. Will you bow your head? Heavenly Father, I pray, God, the Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, would minister our heart today. I pray, God, that you'd help us to learn to appreciate all that you do for us. God, in your divine providence, God, you've blessed us with so many blessings. Our Father, some are prominent and we recognize them easily. And our Father, sometimes we overlook your blessings. And God, I pray that, God, we'd be mindful, as Paul has admonished us in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 20, that always and all things were to give thanks unto the Lord. Our Father, I pray, God, that you'd help us during this time to be especially thankful. And God, not to take anything for granted and understand, our Father, your kindness to us. Now, Lord, I ask the Holy Ghost of God to take control of my heart and my mind and my thought. And I pray, God, you'd speak to your people. And God, I pray for any person in the building, man or woman, boy or girl that's not saved, I pray, God, the Holy Spirit would speak to them. And I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. What a great day in the life of Israel. God has given them instructions about the tabernacle. Most of you know the story of what this is all about. God spoke to Moses. When God was orchestrating everything, the children of Israel were in bondage down in Egypt. And the Egyptians saw that the Jews were multiplying. And the Pharaoh gave command to kill all the boy babies. And yet God in his divine providence had them to save Moses. You know the story about being in the bulrush, that God's supernatural protection of him, how he was raised in the house of Pharaoh. And at a certain time, he recognized who he was. He was, in fact, an Israelite. And how that he killed the Egyptian who was smiting the Israelite. All of that was orchestrated by God because God had a plan. God was going to bring the children of Israel out of bondage. And so Moses, you remember, because he did that and he had to flee into the desert and he stayed there for quite a length of time. And it was in that desert that God spoke to Moses. What an awesome sight this is. Out of a burning bush, a holy Jehovah God came down and spoke to Moses and told him, I want you to go back and you're going to lead those Jews, those Israelites, out of captivity. You remember the awesome story about how he came back and was in conflict with Pharaoh and all those things. And yet God delivered them out. They came down to the Red Sea and it was full. And they God opened the Red Sea and they went across on dry ground, 3.5 million Jews. And then as Pharaoh came in with all his mighty army, God closed the sea over them and destroyed all of them. Boy, that's an awesome story. It's real. It's historical. It really happened. And then they came on, in their wanderings, they came to Mount Sinai. And he went up on that mountain to meet with God. And it was such an awesome experience. When he came down, he had to cover his face. His face was glowing. Moses had been in the very presence of God. Man, that's something. It's an awesome picture of that. And on that mount, God gave him the Ten Commandments and other commandments. But beyond that, he gave him instructions about the tabernacle. That's what it says here about having erected the tabernacle. But you see, when he gave the Ten Commandments, and everybody looked at the Ten Commandments, even the Jews thought, this is how we're going to stay in relationship with God. This is how we get to go to heaven and be with God for all eternity. But Paul explains that the law was never given to give life. The law was given that every mouth might be stopped and everyone become guilty before God. The law was God's standard that man could not meet in himself. And so God not only gave the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai, but he also gave instructions how to build the tabernacle. Now, the tabernacle is where they met God. It was a structure, a temporary structure that later would be replaced by the temple. But it was made out of so many wonderful things. The people brought their offerings. The outer court was 75 feet wide, 150 feet long. It was kind of like a rail fence, but it had all kind of drapes on it. It was set, the boards that made it up and the pillars that were made up, it was set in silver and brass. And then there were cords, and he told them exactly how to make the cords, exactly how to make the tent pegs, everything. And it was a huge structure. Then the tabernacle proper itself was like a building. And this is how they worshiped. And it was a rectangular-shaped building, and they worshiped in there. And it was about 15 feet wide, and it was about 45 feet long. And it had two sections. It had a holy place and a holy of holies. And it was completely covered. There were no windows in it. There were no doors in it. And when people came, when they came to bring all these offerings, they came to the door of the tabernacle at the outer court. And then there was a brazen altar made out of brass. And the priests would take those offerings and they would offer those sacrifices. Now, all of these sacrifices pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you read through, there were hundreds of them. I've been reading devotionally again. And there were hundreds of these sacrifices and all the feasts that were in the book of Leviticus. All those things were connected. And so God had told them in great detail how to make this tabernacle. He put it in the heart of some men to be great craftsmen. And he told Moses, he said, now I put it in these men's heart and you gather all these materials. And so they gathered all the materials and they got everything together. And the boards of the outer court and of the tabernacle were 15 feet high, 2.5 feet wide. And had all of this construction. And then over top of that, they had linens. And when you think about linens, I'm not talking about real fine linen. It was linen, but it was not real small. It was extremely heavy. Then there were badger skins. They had to put enough badger skins together to make a covering over that tabernacle. There was ram skin, and it was dyed red. And then there was another covering. And all of this structure was there. And God gave instruction about the sacrifices, all the sacrifices they would have and all the blessings they would have. And all of those things pointed toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Every sacrifice that was offered on that brazen altar was a picture of Christ dying for our sin. Then they came to a laver, and at that laver they washed their hands, just like the Word of God, the washing of the water by the Word to keep you clean day in and day out. And then there was what was called the tabernacle proper, the holy place. Only the priest went in behind there. The people were allowed to come to the court, but they could never go into that holy place. Only the priest went in. And when he went in, there was a table of showbread, a table that was covered with gold, and it had 12 loaves of bread that represented the 12 tribes of Israel, but it represented the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the bread that's come down from heaven, and he satisfies every hungry soul. Then in front of that was an altar of incense, which represents prayer. And there they offered incense, and the fire was to burn on that continually. And when you come to the New Testament, he says we're to pray without ceasing. The fire was never to go out on that altar. And then on this side, on the left-hand side, was a candlestick, and it had seven flames on that, had seven lamps on that burned with pure olive oil. And the only light in it was completely enclosed. enclosed. There were no doors, no windows. It was dark. It was so dark you couldn't see how to put your hands in your pocket, as somebody said. And the only light inside of there was from that lamp and from the oil, which is a type of the Holy Spirit of God. And the light from that put light on the bread, and it put light on the place of prayer. And so you can only understand the Word of God, and you can only pray by the illumination of the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God works. Only the priest could go in there. Then there was a great, huge, heavy veil. And in the New Testament, when Jesus died, the veil that was in the temple was split from the top to the bottom, because only the high priest could go behind there. And he only did it once a year. And behind that was the Ark of Covenant. It was about maybe this, about not quite as long as that table, made out of gold. It had a, it was like a chest. Inside was Aaron's rod that budded. There was a pot of manna, and there was the Ten Commandments inside that ark. And on top was what was called the mercy seat, and there were angels that overlooked it. And once a year, the high priest went in on the Day of Atonement, and he offered sacrifice, offered blood on that. Out of that mercy seat is where God spoke to Moses. After they were not at Mount Sinai, God came down in the Shekinah glory, and he spoke out of that tabernacle to them. What an awesome picture. What an awesome picture. All and everything about that, and as I've gone back and kind of rehearsed over a lot of this myself this week, I've been blessed. Every bit of that, the cords, the tent pegs, all the furnishings, everything in it is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all the thousands upon thousands upon thousands of sacrifices that were offered, all the blood that was shed, the Bible said it was impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. All those people, that was a foreshadowing of the Lord Jesus Christ. He fulfilled the law. He fulfilled every sacrifice, every Levitical demand. He fulfilled every one of those, and he satisfied every need of our life. Now, I just gave you a brief history of the tabernacle. Now, here we are. And it says in Numbers chapter 7, and when Moses had got it all set up, they had instructed the priest, they had built the high priest's garments. You ought to read through that and read about the clothing of the high priest. He was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. On his shoulders, he had onyx stones. And on those stones, engraved on each one of those stones, was the name of the 12 tribes of Israel, meaning that Jesus Christ was our strength, and he bore Israel on his strong shoulders. And on his breast was a breastplate, had 12 stones. Every one of those stones represented one of the tribes of Israel. And it meant that he kept them close to his heart. We are kept by his power. We are and kept because of his love for us in his heart. They would attach together with a gold chain, which speaks of deity and God's divine providence. And so God's divine providence and God's divine power protects us and takes care of us. And thank God for that. That high priest was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of that was done. And so they got all the sacrifices. They knew how to do the sacrifices. They knew that the priesthood was set up, and they had anointed all them. They built the tabernacle. They had the table of show. They had the brazen altar where they offered the sacrifices. They had the laver where they washed. They had the table of showbread. They had the altar incense, and they had the candlestick, and then they had the Ark of Covenant, the mercy seat. All of that was ready. And Moses had done, he had anointed all of that, dedicated all of that. That's what the Bible says right in this passage of Scripture. All that was done. Now, this tabernacle is called a tent of meeting. It was a place where they met. And God's plan, you remember what his plan was? What he told Moses way back there at that burning bush? He said, I'm going to take you. I'm going to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. I'm going to bring them into the promised land. And so the tabernacle was made to be transported. It was portable. But everywhere they went, God, the Bible said, gave them a cloud over them in the daytime and a pillar of fire at night. Now, the daytime in that desert that they wandered through was extremely hot, well over 100 degrees. It was dry, and it was almost unbearable. But God, in his divine providence, put a cloud over them. And so they lived in the shade. Most all, you ever heard of have it made in the shade? They had it made in the shade. God kept a cloud over them. And then at night, he gave them a pillar of fire, because uniquely, in the daytime, it's so hot, unbearably hot, but at night, it gets so cold, you'd freeze to death. And so God gave them a pillar of fire at night. And so he gave them central heating and cooling out in the middle of that desert. And he took care of them. He had all of that plan. That was all in his plan. And thank God for that. Thank God for the burning bush. Thank God for the massive offering of God's people. Thank God for the wisdom to build the tabernacle. Thank God for the Lord who in all those offerings symbolized our Lord Jesus Christ, who would suffer and bleed and die for us and give his life a ransom. Thank God for that. And we thank God for all of that. But you know, I've never read this in my Bible. I don't know how many times I read my Bible through, but I have never noticed these 12 covered, or these six covered wagons. It says these princes brought six covered wagon and seven oxen, and they gave it to the priest, or gave it to the Lord, and the Lord told Moses, you give it to the priest. And as I got to reading through that, God didn't need to put anything in this Bible to fill up a page. There's a reason for that. In fact, there's only three mentions of wagons in the Bible. One is back in Genesis chapter 45. When the children of Israel were in bondage, and you remember when they went down into Egypt, brother, and God in his divine providence had set everything up. God, there was a great famine in the land. And Joseph, who was Jacob, who became Israel, had 12 sons. One of those sons was Joseph. The boys hated Joseph, and they sold him into slavery down into Egypt. And when the famine came in the land of Israel, there was great famine. Joseph, in God's divine providence, was down in Egypt. And God had already told Joseph in a dream, told the Pharaoh, and Joseph interpreted his dream, that it was going to be 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. And so God in divine providence had Joseph promoted to be the second in the land, only Pharaoh. And so Joseph was there in control of everything. And as God would have it, the brothers who sold him into slavery ended up coming down there to get food. And you remember the story, how God had providentially set everything up. And so in the process of time, they realized that he let himself be known that he was actually their brother. They were scared to death, thought he was going to kill them because they'd sold him into slavery. And he made this statement, no, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. God had orchestrated every bit of this, even my being sold into slavery and my promotion to being second in command to save the house of Israel. And so when the Pharaoh heard about all this and then after a sequence of events knew that Joseph's daddy was still alive, and his brethren, the Pharaoh said, you take these wagons and you go back to the land of Israel. Don't bring any furniture. Don't bring the coffee table. Don't bring the dining room set. Don't bring nothing. Just go get your people and bring them back down here, and I'll give them land. I'll give them provision. I'll give them everything they need. And so those wagons were sent by Pharaoh to bring those Israel back into Egypt where they could be taken care of for a long period of time. Divine providence. In the book of Ezekiel, there's a word mentioned in wagons. And God is telling Israel, because of your rebellion, the enemy is going to come, and they're going to come with chariots and with wagons. And that spoke of judgment. But this is the other time that wagons are mentioned in the Bible. And this is the only time that covered wagons are mentioned in the Bible. When I read that and I got to think about it, I immediately thought about the old-time Westerns. And I saw those covered wagons. I particularly saw when they made a circle when the Indians were trying to come after them, you know. But across the countryside, those covered wagons went. And here in the Bible, it talks about the covered wagons. And as I begin to think about this passage of Scripture, I begin to thank God for the covered wagons in my life. You say, Brother Bill, that's a weird statement. Well, I'm going to tell you, you've got some covered wagons in your life too. You see, because of all the thunder and lightning and burning bushes and sacrifices and everything else, everything's set up, everything's ready to go. But you've got a lot of stuff. There's a whole lot of stuff here. There, all of this outer court, all of those boards 15 feet high, the tabernacle itself, all of those furnishings. Now, I don't know how much they weighed, but I can tell you right now, wild hog hide is heavy, just one hog. And if you've got enough hides to cover that entire thing with those hides and two layers of that and two layers of linens, and then all the silver and gold and brass and everything, that's going to be heavy. And they've got to carry every bit of it. Now, on the furnishings, he made little rings. And they were to put staves or put holders through there. And they were to tote that on their shoulder. And that went first. The Ark of Covenant always went first, and then the other piece of furniture. But now you got all this other stuff. I don't know how at your house, but we got a lot of stuff at our house. And they had a lot of stuff. I don't think anybody even thought about that. That all of this has got to be moved. All this has got to be taken somewhere. And these princes, back in Numbers chapter 1, there was one person out of every tribe that was picked to be the leader of that family, and he was called the prince. And they sent these wagons. And it is a way for them now to transport everything. And here's the amazing thing. I read back through Exodus. I read back through Leviticus and in Numbers. And God never gave instruction about those wagons. He didn't. He told how to carry the piece of furniture. But all this other stuff was there. God, somehow or another, in his divine providence, moved on these individuals. They saw that need and they gave that those wagons. I want to thank God today for those who are willing to carry the load, for those who don't get any recognition, and for those who are not at the burning bush, and for those who don't offer the sacrifices, and for those who don't offer. But God, in his divine providence, has put around me and you people to come through right on time to help to carry the load. Had it not been for these princes giving those covered wagons, every bit of that stuff would have had been carried by hand. Now, I don't know about you, but if you they did not have planers. I'm sure they did good job. But if you take a rough cut piece of board, 15 foot long and 2.5 foot wide, and you had to carry it out about 100 miles across the desert, that'd be quite a project. But these princes had provided 6 covered wagons for all of the tabernacle to carry them out across the land. You say, Brother Billy, what's that got to do with me? As I began to think about these covered wagons, began to think about what they symbolize and why the Holy Ghost of God chose to put it in the Bible, I realized that what they did was they made it easier to fulfill God's purpose. God's purpose was for his people to bring sacrifices to that tabernacle and to offer those sacrifices, sin offerings, trespass offerings, peace offerings. But that tabernacle had to go everywhere they went. And when the Shekinah glory cloud picked up and it moved, they had to break all of that stuff down and they had to haul it and follow that cloud. And they had to go where the cloud went. And if it moved at night, they had to follow the pillar of fire. And these men have sent these wagons. And he said, when all of this is taken down, this is how we're going to load it up. And we load all of that. What they did was make it easier and made provision for somebody else to be able to accomplish God's purpose. You know what? In these years now, Regina and I just a few days be married, 49 years, and it won't be long. I won't have done a couple of years. I have been in the ministry 50 years. And you say, Brother Billy, that's a blessing. It has been a blessing. But can I tell you, I couldn't do a thing if had it not been for the Lord or for a lot of other people who made it possible for me to serve the Lord. And these covered wagons symbolize those people in the background and those people behind the scenes that make it possible for us to accomplish God's purpose. Everything you've got, you may not be a pastor, you may not be a missionary, but there's somebody behind the scenes that has made it possible for you to be where you are. That may have been a Sunday school teacher. It may have been a public school teacher. May have been an aunt or uncle. May have been other people. And if you're like me, there's been thousands of people in all your life. People who've made it possible and made it easier for you to accomplish the will of God. Easier for you to carry on what the Lord has provided, what God wants you to do. It made it possible for them to fulfill God's purpose. Listen, I was talking the other day about traveling. And about my cars. God's been so good to me. And all the miles that I've driven in preaching and camp meetings and revivals and pastoral visits and all those things, I'd had a hard time doing that on foot, on a bicycle, on a moped. And all of these years, somebody's provided covered wagons for me to go. Sometime it was a Buick. Sometimes it was something else. But for all those people in days gone by who made it easier for me to do God's will and God's purpose, I thank the Lord. Our mission team's coming back tomorrow, and they got on an airplane, and they flew from here to New York, I think, and then from New York to Tokyo or wherever, and then into Manila. And all that transportation, God's people helped. Somebody helped to bear the load. And I want to thank God for the ones who helped to bear the load for me, for those who have made it possible for me to do the will of God. And in your life, don't you ever forget that there's been around you in God's divine providence a lot of people who helped you. I was thinking about this when I was thinking about when we came here from Valdosta, Georgia, God's divine providence, 17 years or so now, how long it's been, and I'm glad that God did that, glad God made it possible. This church prayed and voted three different times. We prayed and I fasted down in Valdosta trying to get the will of God and the mind of God, and finally it all worked out. We knew it was God's will. But I'd still be sitting in Valdosta, Georgia, had it not been for Bobby Langdon and some of those other people who sent the covered wagon. It was an 18-footer, and we needed six of them to haul my stuff and Regina's stuff back up here. But he came down with that covered wagon, an 18-foot trailer, and he pulled in Valdosta there in our church parking lot, and we had a little sidewalk that went up to the front door, and I went out, and I didn't know him. I said, could you back that up here to our garage? He said, I can put it in the living room if you want me to. And I met Brother Bobby Langdon. You know what I'm saying? There's been a lot of people in your life, a lot of things in your life, that if you're not careful, you won't recognize that God sent some covered wagons. God sent what you needed to be able to accomplish God's purpose. And God planned that in his divine providence. These people, you read over that and read over it. I don't know how many times I read over it, never thought about that. That here's some guys who said, hey, this is wonderful. I mean, the tabernacle is here. We're going to offer sacrifice. But in the morning, that cloud's going to move and somebody's got to get out of here. Somebody's got to move. We're going to have to move away from here. Listen, these were people who behind the scenes recognized just the little things that's got to be done. These were the people who made everything work. Did you know, you're not going to believe this, but somebody has to keep the bathrooms here at this church. They have to keep everything working in the bathrooms. And you don't get much, you know, don't give me hand claps for that. You don't get much attention for that. But that's part of that 12, that six covered wagons. God sending somebody by to meet that need and sending somebody by to do those things. In my life, in your life, there are thousands of people and thousands of circumstances where God has sent people like that. People who had a practical sense of how to do things and what needed to be done and to expedite things and get things done just right like it ought to be done. God did that. These 12 covered wagons represent those things in my life and your life that we just take for granted. How that God has sent people and things and circumstances to help us to get to where we're going. That's helped us to make God's accomplish God's purpose and to do what God wants us to do and do it in a quicker way and accomplish God's purpose. Listen, notice what it says in the passage. And it came to pass on the day that Moses had fully set up the tabernacle. These people, these guys, brought the covered wagons that very day. They showed up right on time. God's got a way of sending the right person with the right thing right on time. And listen, these are the people who don't get any recognition, but somehow or another, God, the Holy Spirit, had orchestrated in their life, had spoke to them and planned it and put it in their heart, and they didn't show up 2 days late. They didn't show up 3 days early. They showed up right on time. Don't you appreciate the timing of God? God sent by what they needed just right on time. I want to thank God for the six covered wagons. God in his divine providence over all these years has always showed up right on time with the covered wagons. Just exactly when I needed it, right on time, just exactly what I needed. And God's done that for me over and over again, just like these six covered wagons. These people were sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God, and they minded the Lord. And I want to remind you, things that are so small to you may be big to somebody else. It might be a blessing to you. It might be a blessing to them, but it's not even a blessing to you. I think about that. I think about the people who have done things and took care of things. Brother Bobby Bird and Connie, probably watching us on the internet this morning, And we have this, over the last several years, I say we put out 70,000 CDs. Brother Mitchell and Sylvia and others have helped, have duplicated those CDs, labeled those CDs. Brother Robert Langdon and his company have shipped those things. Thousands of them. No telling how much all that's been. Mitchell and Sylvia shipped out some. I've shipped out some and all those things. But we're talking about all these we've got out. But it all started with a little box. And up and down the East Coast and Cheyenne, Wyoming, El Dorado, Kansas, and out in Sacramento, California, there are boxes that Bobby Bird and Dennis Norris have built. Those boxes are sitting there, just like covered wagons. And God sent somebody by that knew what to do and how to do it right on time. And the thousands of CDs have gone. God's provided the money. The message has been preached. Jim's edited them. And Mitchell and Sylvia and others have duplicated them, put labels on them, shipped them. And Fred and John and all these other guys in here, Miss Doris, Miss Martha, and everybody else who helps to give them out. God sent the covered wagons right on time. All of that burden, all of that vision, all the need that's on the highway wouldn't mean one thing if somebody didn't get it job done. You know, I'm going to confess something to you. I know this, you won't ever forget this because I ain't never forgot it. When I was little, long time. This is some, one of those things, Dr. Field have a fit over this, I reckon. But my daddy was lost, but my mama loved the Lord. And people talk about things, and little fellas hear things, and they got to talk one day about flash floods. I don't know how old, I wasn't very old at all. And they got to talking about flash floods, and they talking about how it rained, and boy, just come swept everything away and everything, yeah. Well, somehow or another, me and my friend Jimmy Wheeler ended up at the house by ourselves. Now, the mom and daddy might have been down the field somewhere or whatever, but no air condition. We had but four rooms and a toilet out back, but we had all the windows up. All of a sudden, right in the middle, it just turned just as black, dark. Wind got to blowing like a hurricane, and it went to pouring down raining. Well, I know one thing. My mama, when electricity, it started lightning. Mom believed you don't have no dogs in the house, don't have no cats in the house. You unplug everything, you close the window, close the blind, get in the middle of the bed and pray. That's the way she felt about storm. That got in my mind. And so when it started pouring down rain, it was blowing and blowing rain all in the house. I told Jimmy, I said, this is a flash flood. Boy, I was having one in my space. I said, this is a flash flood. Mama's daddy's told me about this, a flash flood. We got to pray. He said, well, you pray. I'm going to pull the windows down. What am I saying? I'm saying this. Somebody has just got to pull the windows down. And thank God for somebody who's got sense enough to do that. Amen? 12 wagons. 12 wagons represents those friends in our lives who have caused us to be able to accomplish God's purpose. And in your life, whatever it was, whether it's your education or your business or whatever it is, God has sent people right by all the time. And they always come right on time with the right kind of thing. They were right there. And they showed up right on time to make the next move possible. Not only that, but I know this about these people. There's probably evidence these 12 covered wagons, or these six covered wagons and 12 yoke of oxen, this need was not met without some inconvenience to them. Listen, these people are wandering in the wilderness. They have not been out of Egypt's bondage long. And when they left out, they didn't carry hardly anything. And yet, these oxen would be great treasures because they're great beasts of burden, like the water buffalo in the Philippines. And these wagons, probably indispensable to their personal need, their family need. But they sacrificed their personal comfort for the cause of Christ so that others could fulfill God's purpose. And I don't think we ought to take that for granted. I don't know what they hauled in these covered wagons, but whatever. When they started loading tabernacle in, the people who gave those covered wagons, they had to carry what they needed to carry the rest of the trip. And they had to do that at a sacrifice to their own life. And I want to thank God for those people who have sacrificed over the years and given above their means for the cause of Christ. And the radio ministry and the internet ministry and this building and everything else, I want to thank God for that. There are people in here who don't sing in the choir. They don't teach in the Sunday school. They don't do anything that you ever notice other than you speak to them on Sunday morning. But they tithe every week. They give sacrificially every week. They give to missions. They give to special occasions, and they pray. Those are like these 12 covered wagons. Those people who will inconvenience themselves and give sacrificially for the purpose of God. I want to thank God for the 12 covered wagons, for the people who are willing to see a need and meet the need, who are willing to inconvenience themselves so that we might be blessed and might have what we need. But let me say this. These covered wagons, six covered wagons, they were to haul the tabernacle proper on, the building itself. They were to haul the outside court and all of that itself. And without those covered wagons and without all of that being hauled, worship in the future would have been impossible. It had to be moved. It had to get down the road. And so their one-time gift on this particular day assured the future worship of God's people. Those people who had trespassed against the Lord could bring that lamb. Those people who had to bring a peace offering or a sin offering, and they've come to that outer court, they were assuring the fact that there'd be access and there'd be opportunity for people to come and worship down the road. Thank God for the covered wagons. Thank God for those who have given in time for future blessings down the road. God's used that in my life and in your life over and over again. I don't know if you're getting this or not, but I hope you will. I hope you can sort it out and make it understand. These covered wagons represent these people who came on right on time, who gave sacrificially, who's made it possible for us to be where we are and do what we do and accomplish what we do. We ought not to miss those blessings in our life, in your home and in your marriage and in all those things. You think about all the years when you were raised and you had Sunday school teachers and vacation Bible school teachers and good public school teachers, good people in the community who helped you and helped you in the beginning, who taught you how to do what you do, and all the investment in your life. They were like these six covered wagons that God sent by to help you to bear that load and carry that load, and thank God for that. Now I want you to turn your Bible, please, to Matthew 27. You're talking about a change of gears. Here's a change of gears. You won't find this in any theology book. I don't even know if it's so or not. But as I was praying, this blesses me. I want you to understand what's going on here. This tabernacle and all the blood sacrifices represents what Christ did for us on the cross. And these people who felt impressed of the Lord to give these covered wagons, they're hauling all of the tabernacle, all of the courtyard, everything, to make the sacrifices possible down the road. And I run across something that just caught my attention. If you will, envision this in your mind. After they have had this tabernacle erected and they've gone through all the anointing and the special offering, when that cloud began to move, they had to break it down for the very first time. They began to get everything together, but to cover all the furniture. They had the staves in that to carry those things on their shoulders. And then they took these six covered wagons, and they broke down all that, much like breaking down the judgment scene or our passion play and loading them up. In fact, that's what I was thinking about. I was thinking about Erskine and Corbett and all the guys who came over, all the ladies who came over, and Brother Donnie hauling stuff in and out of here on trailers and in and out, and all the people who helped with that. And they're breaking it all down. They're hauling it. And so when they start out, there's the Ark of Covenant. That's the mercy seat. That's where God spoke to them. And they're carrying that on their shoulders. And then they got all their other furnishings behind that. They got them all wrapped up. You can't see the gold. You can't see anything. All you see is those badger skins. That's what they cover everything up with. They're covered with linens. They're covered with ramskin dyed red. And then they're covered with that badger skin. It's protective from the weather, but it also hides it from the vision of the world. Everything about it. But you've got all the furnishings, and then you've got these six covered wagons following behind. You know what? That Ark of Covenant represented the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the propitiation for our sin. That's Him. Now watch this. In Matthew chapter 27, I'm going to call your attention, please, to verse number 32. Let me read verse 31. And after they had mocked Him, they took the robe from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to be crucified. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they would come to the place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of the skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when they had tasted thereof, he would not take. And they crucified him, parting his raiment, and casting lots. I'll leave off the reading there. I don't know if you understand what's happening here. Now, I won't take time because it's after 12 o'clock. But if you go to Mark chapter 15 and verse 21 and Luke 23 verses 25 through 26, you'll find that same scenario. Now, I don't want to mess up our Bible stories or anything else, because I had envisioned in my mind that they beat our Lord and they put the cross on him and he drug it away and he couldn't carry it and he fell down. And then they got this fellow to carry the cross. But I've read over this a few times. And I want you to know that there's not anything in this Bible that God put into Philip's base. What they did is they had this man to carry the cross. And the sacrifice went ahead. The mercy seat was in front. And there was a man who bore the cross of Jesus up that hill. And then they nailed Jesus to the cross. Simon was his name, of Cyrene. And he bore that. And as I begin to think about those wagons carrying that tabernacle proper, and then I thought about that Ark of Covenant representing the Lord Jesus Christ in front, I thought about those six covered wagons following close behind. And here you come to the cross. And the sacrifice, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, beaten, bruised, battered, bleeding, walks ahead, and somebody else behind him is carrying his cross. My dear friend, I want to thank God for that man. I want to thank God for that man. Jesus Christ would die on that cross for me. He died on that cross for you. But this man bore that cross for Jesus to the hill called Golgotha. He took it up there. And you know what? As that man bore that cross, and he's following the sacrifice, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, there's no accident that he was there. There's no accident that they picked him out of the crowd. That was in God's divine providence. God had somebody there to bear the cross of his son and to carry that load for his son. And I want to tell you right now, I want to thank God over all these years that God's always had people and always had covered wagons to come along right at the right time to bear my load and carry my load. Nobody has ever come to my rescue like the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Cast all your cares on me, care for you."